Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Hallelujah. You purchased us, Lord, to a great price, the very life of Jesus. Ah, Lord, we thank you. We are no longer our own, but yours. Glory to God. And today, may we be truly yielded. Praise God. Now, O Lord, as we enter into this lesson, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And so let it be. Even on here today, give us understanding to know what the Spirit of God is saying. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to do this lesson. I think, you know, it may go a little long, so I said I'll do part one and part two. But it's really a follow-up from yesterday. These are some tools for you to get victory over the devil and the world. Well, yesterday we talked about faith and prayer. You know, how to build up our defense systems using our faith and using prayer. Or you might think of this as an extension of that lesson. But I want to present, or prayer and faith will be part of it, but I want to present a more comprehensive list of tools that you can have in your tool bag, so to speak. You know how the technician, and they come to your house, you know, either to fix your electricity or fix plumbing or fix whatever. They got that tool bag or tool kit, you know, to do the work that they need to do. And they must have the right tools for the job, you know. Otherwise, they won't be able to do it effectively. So we also need to have the right tools for our spiritual warfare. Praise God. You know, so we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Today, I want to continue in the same, but we're tackling these tools for your victory over the devil and the world. Now, why are we, are we fighting the world? Why must we have victory over the world? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so that means these world systems are designed to be in conflict against you. You know, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. John 16 and 33. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, if Jesus overcame the world, I mean, you don't overcome unless you engage in a fight of some sort. So if Jesus overcame the world, and we know also that we are in a fight with the world systems. We all know that we're always in a fight with the devil, you know, because Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, that thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, if someone is coming to steal your stuff, you know, kill something that, you know, steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your life, wow, you better put up and fight. Yeah. There was a young man one time, his name was David, the son of Jesse, and he was a little shepherd boy out in the fields. But he wasn't going to put up with anything coming to take what was his own or anything that he had watch over. So he had watch over his father's flock, but he wasn't going to let the lion come in and bully him around and take something that belonged to him, or let the bear do the same. He wasn't going to put up with it. And so the devil might come to try to take what's yours. You know, they come put into your hands some tools today that you can use. I mean, these are things we already know. A reminder when we bring it in this context. So, here are some tools, and I'm going to, there are many actually, but I want to package seven of them to give to us to use. And since this is a teaching and not just a preaching combination, really, we most of my lessons here, I call them lessons. I handle them as teachings. You know, that's why I give a lot of scriptures. You know, now when you preach, you can just take one or two verses and just preach. But when you teach, you got to bring scripture, comparing scripture with scripture, and this and this and this, you know, so that, you know, you can be thoroughly furnished. And so, you know, that's why people say, oh, why you give a lot of scriptures? I can't keep up with those. Well, that's the reason, you know. And thank God for the replays. And thank God for some people who help us to post the scriptures. I mean, there's opportunity for you to go back and catch some of the scriptures. But we always got to give the scriptures when we do teachings. It's kind of like when you do a Bible study. You can't just, I mean, you got to go here, you got to go there, you got to bring that one, you got to bring that one, you got to bring it all together. You know, so we will be looking at several scriptures for each of these tools that you can put in your tool set to wage this spiritual warfare. Now, we talked about that warfare yesterday. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We talked about that yesterday. Now, number one of these tools that you can put in your tool bag or toolkit to use, God's promises. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that that could be number one? Well, God's promises. Now, that alone, I can spend 3 days here pulling out God's promises for you that you can use for various things. You know, if you are counting, we've done lessons on how to use God's promises for your victory at least a dozen times on this platform. But, you know, it's, you know, the promises of God, perhaps the greatest tool that you have. Number one tool, in my opinion, you know, of the, you know, what you can use to fight the devil and the world and whatever confronts you. Why do I say that? As I often say, you know, you need to know what God has promised. Once you know that, you can use that. So it's a powerful, powerful tool to know, you know, to know his promises. But today I want to talk especially, I mean, there's different kinds of promises, and I often, you know, taught about using God's promises, you know, line up your faith with his promise, what he has promised for, what you are believing for, and all of that. You all know that. Today I want to look specifically at promises where God said he will fight for you. Those are the ones I want to look at today. Praise the Lord. Specific promises that God said he will fight for you. And when you have these promises, you know, in your tool bag or toolkit, well, then when the time comes, you pull out the right tool. Yeah? You got to know the right tool, though. Remember also when we did the lesson about the keys, you know, of the kingdom of heaven. If you were trying to stick the wrong key into the door, it's not going to work. You know, you got to find the right key to use. I have a bunch of keys and a bunch of doors, or several doors, and a bunch of keys and several doors, and which goes where. You know, so we got to know how to use and what to use of the tools that are in your toolkit. You know, there are some wrenches I've seen that are just fixed wrench. You know, it could be, you know, a size 11, size 10, size 12, size this and that. You just, you know, you you pick the right one, and then you find, you see if it matches the bolt that you're trying to loosen or tighten. There are some other wrenches, super wrenches, so to speak, that are not fixed size. You can adjust the size to fit the, they're a little more expensive than the others. You can adjust the size to fit the bolt that you are trying to tighten or loosen. Now, but you must know how to use it. If you don't know how to use it, it's not going to work. You know, so these promises of God about God fighting for you, you must know that he said them, first of all. And then, you know, once you know that, then, well, you put yourself in alignment with that. Now, our God is a God of war. He's a man of war. You must know that too. You know, so he called himself Lord of hosts many times. You know, God, the God of hosts. It's a Lord of hosts. Hosts means, you know, armies and things like that. So if you think of him as, you know, your commander-in-chief or the commander-in-chief of the armies, you know, in fact, in Revelation 19 and some other places, he talks about the armies that are in heaven. They follow him. You know, God has armies, you know, and we, you know, in the series we just concluded about angels, you know, we talk about their role, you know, and different things they do, and some of them that are trained warrior angels to fight for you. So, you know, all these lessons go together. So here are some promises of God that have to point blank do with him fighting for you. Praise the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, I'll read a few there. I'm going to read one or two from Exodus, a few from Isaiah, you know, some from Second Chronicles, etc. You know, you just see these promises where God himself said he will fight for you. Now, remember, this title is about getting victory over the devil and the world. So it has to do with fighting. You are in some kind of a fight, and you need to get the victory. So let's read some of these things. In Exodus, we see the story of the children of Israel trying to escape. And, you know, after a long struggle, they got out of there. But Pharaoh pursued, and you all know the story. And when they came up against the, you know, Red Sea, it seemed as if there was no place to go. You know, they couldn't go forward and they couldn't go backward because the, you know, Pharaoh's armies chasing them down. But here in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, let's start with that one. It's a good one. The Lord said through Moses to them, and this is something that is a good, good promise for you to have in your bag of tools to use against the devil from time to time. God has said it. Exodus 14 and verse 13. Moses said, you know, to the people that, well, they should not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So let me read to you exactly how it says. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, which you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Stop all your grumbling. The Lord will fight for you. Now, so let's see some elements in this proclamation. Number one, fear not. Fear not is a good instruction. In fact, it's paramount that we take heed to that, because fear will just cause any confidence that you had before that you might have had to disintegrate. Fear will weaken your defense systems, at the very root. So we see that God often said, fear not, I am with thee. I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with the right arm of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. God always said, fear not, Jesus himself, every time. And when he got into a situation, he would say, fear not, be not afraid, and so on. We tell them, try to get rid of that fear first before he would do whatever he needed to do. Whether it was, somebody that died and they're all crying and Jesus would come there and say, well, fear not, and so forth. Say, well, either your daughter will live again or your brother will live again or this and this and this. Tell them, fear not. Here, Moses also tells them, fear ye not. Well, there's reason to be afraid, okay? Otherwise, they wouldn't be saying that. When you see the Red Sea in front of you, ever heard of such a thing? Who's going to be able to cross the Red Sea? It's never happened before, And then you've got Pharaoh's armies chasing down, behind you. Well, there's a lot of reason to be afraid. But Jesus, the word of God says to them here through Moses, fear ye not. Okay? Fear ye not. Just believe the word of God. Once he says fear ye not, it means, you would have naturally already been afraid. But he's telling you, take courage. Stand still. Praise the Lord. Just stand still. Don't fret. And see the salvation of the Lord. So these things are important. Must fear not. You got to stand still in order for you to see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, he said. Now, the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. The Lord shall fight for you. That's a good promise. You shall hold your peace. So you get a hold of that and use it. So these things are about God's promises to fight for you. Let's take a hold of, take note of that. How God promises to fight for you. There are a few more promises, point blank, where he said, we'll fight for you. Let's read the book of Deuteronomy. There's a few places in Deuteronomy. Again, when God was dealing with the children of Israel, he had to give them some promises, to make them no longer afraid. Remember, they'd been in servitude for hundreds of years. They've been pummeled, beaten down, enslaved. The women have been raped in front of them. They've been tormented. They've been brutalized. They've been all kinds of things. So the Lord, when he began to tell them, he had to give them encouragement. Deuteronomy chapter 20, and let's read verse 4. But I'm going to start from verse 1. I'm going to read 1 to 4. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and you see horses and chariots and the people that is more than you, be not afraid of them. Same thing again. For the Lord thy God is with thee. That's comforting. Which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you come nigh unto the battle, that the priests shall approach and speak unto the people. See, somebody's got to give these people encouragement. Hear, O Israel, he shall say, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. They're always trying to tell people that. Fear not, and do not tremble at the sight of your enemies. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Praise the Lord. That's a powerful, powerful scripture. Now, you can apply that to any situation. You may not be in an army of soldiers, either footmen or whatever, that going hand-to-hand combat or whatever it is you're doing. But it's the same concept. Whatever it is that you are you know, facing that seem to be overwhelming, is what he's saying here. When you see horses, when you see a situation that is beyond your strength, when you see a lion that's taking one of the kids, you know, from the flock, you see a bear that can rise up and pound his chest like that against you. These things are overwhelming. When you see a giant called Goliath, whose reputation precedes him, how he has destroyed many people and nobody can fight with him. These things are overwhelming. Let not your heart fear when you face those situations. Well, you know, go out against them in the name of the Lord. And the young man, his heart didn't fear. So you come against me with spears and all these things and so on, but I come against you in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. You know, they were bold. You know, it was a bold man. The righteous are bold as a lion. It was a bold young man. You know, so let not your hearts faint and do not tremble. Situations that may be laws in the land to take away, you know, your quietness and your peace and everything. always making new laws, you know. This is the world system. Remember, overcome the victory. I mean, have the victory, overcome the devil and the world. The world systems, like, you know, here, you may be living here in the United States now. I mean, this place used to be the land of the brave, the home of the free, or however they say. I mean, people coming here for the American dream, you know. Well, lately, that's changed. There's all kinds of laws. In fact, the Bible says that the Antichrist system would seek to change laws and times and seasons and so forth. I'm not saying anybody is the Antichrist, but the system is in place, you know, to do the things that the Bible said they would do. And so there are laws today to disinherit you from the inheritance of the Lord. There's all kinds of things, you know, so, you know, your heart may melt and fear. The Bible says, be not terrified, for the Lord will fight for you. How is he going to do it? That's none of your concern. But you just believe God that he's going to do it, you know. And, you know, so, and, you know, the Lord, even in the time of the children of Israel, you know, he used to tell the people, you know, when you are in an army of people and so forth, and so some of people are afraid, said to us, send them away, those who are fearful. Because fear is a contagious thing. It will spread. You know, they will weaken the hands of the people when somebody is afraid. Their fear will transfer to others. So get rid of those who are fearful. You know, and even God never liked the fearful. You know, get rid of them, he said. The fearful, you know, even at the end of the age, even in Revelation, God never really liked the fearful at all. They are no use to him in his kingdom. In fact, the fearful play into the hands of the devil, and they are almost like instruments in the hands of the devil. Revelation 21 and 8, God puts the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers in the same category. I mean, of the fearful. They're put in the same category of these other ones. So fear is a dangerous thing. If you entertain fear and you live a life of fear, some people a life of paranoia even, you know, you are playing into the camp of the devil. And God hates it. That's why all fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all these things, you would think fearful will be in the same category as those? Yes, because that puts you right against the Lord when you have that fear. And that fear will translate to other people. Get rid of them. God told Gideon, send back all those that are fearful. He started out with 32,000. The moment he said that, 22 of them went away. 22,000. I mean, a whole bunch of people that are there, but they are fearful. Get rid of them. You know, so get rid of the fear, you know. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, just take the word of God. The promises of God are powerful. So that Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 to 4, is a powerful, powerful one that God will fight for you. How about this one? Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8. Another powerful, powerful declaration that God will fight for you. Remember, when looking specifically at promises where God said he will fight for you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. You see, he's always saying that. No, be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the situation. The laws in the land, or situation, or whatever it is, your job, threatening to fire you, layoffs are coming, or whatever it is, you know, don't be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail you, neither will he forsake you. Now, you know, handwritings of ordinances, handwritings of bill of ill health, you know, medical science tells you you can't make it. You know, they show you even evidence, you know, from various scopes and testings and so forth that you are not going to make it. You're dying slowly. Well, God said, fear not. When you come up against these things and they look overwhelming to you, fear not. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail you, and he will not forsake you. Glory to God. So Moses called Joshua and said to him, the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with these people unto the land which the Lord hath God has sworn unto our fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Lord already told Moses that. And the Lord, he told him again exactly what the Lord told him. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither will he forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He will be with you. He will not physically ever leave you. He will not forsake you. You know, emotional detachment. You know, when you think that God is not there, you know, he's there. You know, he will never leave you physically or even emotionally. He will be there to strengthen you. Now, be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be frightened. Don't tremble at the situation that you see. Those things will weaken your defense systems. Remember, we talked about your defense systems yesterday, how to build them up. Today, I'm telling you that these things, fear and so forth, dismay and trembling at the sight of what you see, will weaken those defense systems. So be careful now. Now, but if you understand that the Lord said that he will fight for you, and praise God, he will fight for you and you will get the victory. Praise the Lord. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17, and we will read more in that chapter later on. Some other tools are there. But let's look at another promise here of how he said God will fight for you. Now, you all know this story. We've talked about it multiple times, but you know, just this one verse out of it, specifically in line with this thing that we are saying, is how, you know, this prophecy came from this man called Jahaziel, you know, the son of Zechariah, and he said to Jehoshaphat and the rest of them, see these people, this Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, that companies that seem overwhelming. And they are terrifying, their numbers outnumber you completely. Well, he says to them, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. But set yourselves and stand you still, almost like what Moses said, you know, and see the salvation of the Lord. Almost what David said, Moses said, you know, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. Again, see, that fear must always be addressed. Be not dismayed. Give you strategy though. Tomorrow, you go out against them, the Lord will be with you. You can't run away. You got to face the battle, but you won't need to fight. The Lord will fight for you. So you go out as though you were going to fight, but in your heart, you knew the Lord is going to be the one to do the fighting. So, you know, remember that. No, you're not running away from the situation. You're going to face it squarely and head on, but not in your own power, not by might or by power or by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, this mountain, you know, shall be removed by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's a song we sing like that. And, you know, that song comes from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power and not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, which means the Lord is the one going to do it for you. Who art thou, O great mountain? You know, well, you look overwhelming, you look, you know, terrifying, but before Zerubbabel, the Lord's going to bring you down. So these are words of promise that God gives us that he will fight for you. What about Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 25? What does it say there? Point blank tells you that he will fight for you. I will contend with anything and anyone that contends with you. That's a point blank, you know, thing, promise that God gives you. And I will save your children even, you know. So use these promises. You say, the Lord said you will contend. Anything that's contending with you, the lion comes to take something from you, the bear comes to take something from you, illness comes to take something from you, even death is staring you in the face. Oh, David said, I would not be afraid, nor do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear. My heart will not fear. In this will I be confident. Walls around me, nations dried up against me, they surround me like bees. In the name of the Lord, I will consume them all. He's my... His confidence was in the Lord, because he knew the Lord would fight for him. Hallelujah. I said, the Lord is the one that teaches my hands to fight, my fingers to war. You know, and through my God, I run through troops. I leap over walls. And he knew what he was doing, because the Lord was with him. So that's number one. Your number one tool is God's promise. That's tools for your victory over the devil and the world, whatever you are facing in the world, whether illness, whether terror, with that threat of destability, you know, government laws and various things, you know, whatever it is, your first line of defense is God's promise that he will fight for you. And you must not be discouraged. Praise the Lord. Number two, we actually dealt with this one yesterday, your faith. So I won't say too much about it because we spent a lot of time on that yesterday, but just a few verses that tell you how you should use your faith. Remember, we used Ephesians 6 and 16 yesterday, the shield of faith. He said that's how you quench all, that's A-L-L, the fiery darts of the enemy, of the devil. So faith is a powerful tool to have. I mean, we cannot speak enough about faith. My favorite subject, my favorite all time subject, as you say, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So by your faith, you can quench many things. But here's a point blank scripture that tells you how, you know, you can use your faith, you know, not just as a defense, a mechanism, but even, you know, to get you victory in every situation. Praise the Lord. And here's how he puts it, you know, in 1 John verse chapter 5, verse 4. It's how the word of God puts it. He said, whatsoever, now we're talking about overcoming the world now, you know, overcoming the devil and overcoming the world. Now, whosoever is born of God will overcome the world. The world systems not be able to get them down, you know. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. That's right. Because it's our faith, but I point it right back to you and say, your faith. This is how you're going to overcome all the negative things that are in the world. These systems of the world are designed to destroy our faith, destroy our joy, kill our dreams, do everything. But your victory will be in your faith. Your faith will overcome the world. Why? Because you find the promises of God. You anchor your faith in those promises. Kind of like David found those five smooth stones, like promises, you know, symbolic. And then he took the sling, which was his faith, and went out against Goliath. So you get those, all of God's promises that he will fight for you. And then you put your faith smack down, anchored on those promises, and you go out against the devil. Praise the Lord. And David, he didn't back down from Goliath. Everybody else was shying away in the corner. He didn't. He went right out against him. You know, I know who I have believed. I've seen his victories in the past. And I know he can do this. He's done it for me too before, and he will do it again. Go out with victory in the name of the Lord. Remember that he said he will fight for you. So your faith is so critical. That's number two. And put together all of the lessons of faith that we have taught on this platform. You can find hundreds of scriptures, but I'm not going to go through all those hundreds of scriptures today. But here's another one, Mark 11, 23 to 24. When you have this immovable and mountain that is so fearsome and looks so overwhelming and dominating and bringing terror and everything against you, handwriting of ill health situations and what have you, and chronic situations that you've been praying against that not working. Well, Jesus said, use your faith. Use your faith. Say, speak to this mountain. That faith must be spoken. It's in your heart, but you have to speak it out. You know, even Romans chapter 10 tells you that the word of faith is in your mouth. You believe with your heart, but you speak it out to get the victory. You believe with your heart, then you speak it out. You speak with your faith. When you speak, you come against that mountain in the name of the Lord. Now, don't come against that mountain with spears and shields. That's not going to work. You come against that mountain in the name of the Lord. That's right. And you bring the promises of God that God said he will fight for you. You use that. You say, you come against me with this and that and so forth. Well, I come against you in the name of the God of heaven who has promised me these things. And you repeat those promises. And he said, well, when you say it though, he said, don't doubt, see. And don't be fearful. Don't doubt it. But believe that those things that you said will come to pass. And you shall have whatever you said. It's a victory, guaranteed. But you must follow the pattern. Find the promise of God that he will fight for you in this case. And go out against them. Jahaziel said, you know, don't back away. Don't run off. You know, go and hide. That's not going to work. Go out against them. But remember, the Lord will be the one that's doing the fighting. But you must go out against them. You know, so you go out with the promise of God that he's going to fight for you. And you will get the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. So much to be said about faith. We said a lot about it already yesterday, but faith is that number two thing. First, the promises of God and faith in those promises. That's right. And sometimes faith needs a little helper. So this is number three. Number three, prayer and fasting. They go together. So it's not prayer and or fasting. No, they go together. So prayer and fasting is called a faith, I call it faith helper. Because there's this story in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus is coming down from the so-called Mount Transfiguration. He had taken John, James, and Peter. And then when he came down, one man met him and said, Lord, I need your help. You know, I came to your disciples, you know, brought my son that is, you know, tormented of the devil, who oftentimes cast him in the fire, do this and that and so forth, trying to kill him, but your disciple could not do it. Can you help me, Lord? And the Lord looked at the disciples and was like, shook his head. How long will I be with you? Faithless generation. Said, bring the child to me. And he rebuked the devil. And the guy, you know, the boy foaming at the mouth, doing all of that and so forth. Calm down. Devil, you know, got out of him. In his right mind, hands him back to his father. Of course, the man joyfully went away. And then the disciples, heads in shame, come to Jesus and say, well, tell us, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus, the first thing that Jesus said, now notice what he said and the way that Jesus said it. So this is very important. Let's look at exactly what he said. It wasn't just, you know, the prayer and fasting that he said. Well, the first thing he said is, he said, because of your unbelief. That's the first thing he said. Yeah, so let's read the story. Matthew 17 and verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart. Everybody was left. Had left. And they secretly come and, Lord, tell us, why couldn't we do that thing? Well, I said, why couldn't we cast him out? You know? Well, and then Jesus said, because of your unbelief. That's the first thing. You couldn't do it. So that's why faith is so critical. However, there is a faith helper that Jesus is going to talk about here. Your unbelief, which is the, you know, negative, you know, thing, the opposite of faith. Your unbelief is why you couldn't do it. For I say unto you, if you would have had faith, even as a grain of a mustard seed, it's a very small seed, you know, you can still move mountains, even with little faith. So because you couldn't do this, so because that means you didn't have faith at all. You know, you can say to this mountain, get away from here, move from here to there, and he would obey you if you have faith. And nothing shall be impossible unto you if you have faith. So Jesus explained, first of all, that faith is what you need, and unbelief is why you couldn't do it. But there is a little helper for your faith. Say, how be it, you know, there are times that you gotta help that faith along with prayer and fasting. So which leads us to number three. Number three is prayer and fasting. Now, the disciples of Jesus didn't like to fast. In fact, they didn't fast. And even people complained, now, why do the disciples of John and Pharisees, they fast, and your disciples, they eat all the time? And Jesus said, well, you know, can the children of the bride chamber fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? Say, no. You know, but I guarantee you, when the bridegroom is taken from them, then they will fast in those days. So the disciples didn't like to fast. They were even happy that Jesus was defending them for not fasting. But when the time came that that fasting could have helped them, they didn't have the helper because they were didn't spend time like Jesus praying and fasting. So Jesus is telling us here that prayer and fasting can boost your faith. Now, if you have faith, however you have the faith, it will work for you. But if you see that your faith is not working, then double boost it with prayer and fasting. That's what Jesus is saying here. You know, that's the meaning of this verse. You know, so faith is what you need. And we've already talked about it as number two. But your number three, two, which comes in as a helper when that faith, you know, doesn't quite get the job done. Boost up your faith, which is what we were talking about yesterday. Building up your faith, praying the Holy Ghost, build up your faith and so forth. Prayer and fasting will help you do that. And a life of prayer, which we talked about yesterday, and then knowing how to pray effectively. It's not just prayer, just rambling away. Jesus himself condemned that. He said, you know, the Pharisees think that you just speak words. You know, Matthew chapter 6, just speak any kind of words and long words and repetitious things. They think that that's how their prayer will be heard. He said, no. You know, you got to pray focused prayer. Using the word of God to challenge the situation. Now, in the case of fighting some battle, most things that we go through in life are battles of some kind. You find those preachers that say the Lord will fight for you, and you use your faith targeted, you know, laser focus, not just Paul said, look, I'm not one that shadow boxing. I don't like shadow boxing, he said. I don't beat the air. I am focused. I see the mark and I go for it and I hit that mark. You know, so we got to hit the mark, not just shadow boxing. You know, just beating around the bush. You hit the mark when you take the promises of God, line your faith with it, and face the enemy squarely. Praise the Lord. Five smooth stones are like those promises. The sling are like your faith. Together with those, you face the enemy squarely and you will get the victory. God, the Lord said he will fight for you. But remember, you might have needed to spend time in prayer and fasting. Praise the Lord to help you move things along. Praise God. Well, I want to end this lesson there. There is more to come, but that's where I'm going to end it today as part one. And I'm going to do part two tomorrow, where when we have much more time. You know, today I don't have quite as much time. So we'll leave it there for today. Remember, this lesson is about knowing the tools that you need and putting them where you can find them quickly in a tool set, or put in your hands some tools that you can use for your battle against the devil and the world to get you victory. In part two, we're going to be talking about a few more things. I'll reveal those to you tomorrow by the grace of God. But today, that's it. I'm going to cut this lesson short here and come back tomorrow by the grace of God to get the rest of it. In the meantime, if you use these three powerful tools that we're giving you today and get a lot of victory, but wait, there's more. More will be coming tomorrow by the grace of God. I'm going to pray, pray over the room and yield on account of, commitments today. I can't go longer than this. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the word of God. Hallelujah. And the promises that you will fight for us. Now help us, Lord, to sharpen our faith, even with prayer and fasting, to remember the promises of God who walk for us, who fight for us. I will contend for you. The Lord will fight for you. Stand still, say, be not afraid. There's a Lord thy God that doth go with you, and he will fight for you. And you will see his salvation today. And the Egyptians that have terrorized you will see them no more. I thank you, Lord, for these powerful promises. Give us the understanding and help us to clad ourselves with the, faith, the right faith in the promises of God that you will fight for us to get the victory over the devil and over the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.